Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
Another question I would ask is, what do you want to be known for?
I like that.
You know, and so one thing that I do is, you know, and Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, chapter 2 is called Begin with the End in Mind. You know, Napoleon Hill, one of the greatest thought leaders of our time, would have always talked about begin with the end in mind. My funeral moment, that question was me beginning with the end in mind. And so what I do with my clients is right from the get-go, we write a eulogy for ourselves. Yeah. In the words of our wife. And it's real and it's raw and it's visceral. But basically what I do is I say, hey, if you were to die tomorrow, I want you to picture your wife, your kids standing around your casket. What would she say about the man, husband, and father you were today? Right? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to write a second version, a 2.0. If you were 100% the man, husband, and father that you knew you could be, the one that you were called to be, what would they say then?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. My name is Rebecca Whitman. We're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a very special guest in the studio. Welcome, Mitchell Osmond.
Thank you, Rebecca, for having me. I'm really looking forward to having this conversation with you and your listeners today.
It's great to have you here. I'm going to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Mitchell helps high performers reclaim their home health and happiness without sacrificing career success. He is a leadership consultant, an executive coach, and the host of the Dad Nation podcast, which reaches over 34,000 listeners a month. He has over 15 years of senior leadership experience. Through his coaching programs, podcasts, and speaking, Mitchell equips men to lead with confidence, strengthen their marriages and families, and create a legacy that outlives them. By the way, the show is brought to you by Vita Essentials. So, Mitchell, you have a great story. You lost 60 pounds, saved your marriage, launched this whole movement, Dad Nation. Tell us your story. How did it all happen? What was your big turning point to get you where you are today?
Well, thank you for asking, Rebecca. And there were really two key points for me. All right. Number one was a fight. Number two was a funeral. Okay. So we'll start with the first one, which is the fight. Now I want you to visualize with me. I was in a living room with my wife, and we got into a huge fight, and it all hit the fan. You know, we started fighting over money, and I believe then it morphed into me not being present, and from one topic to the next topic. If your listeners are in a relationship, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But at this point, you know, we'd been married for, like I said, about 3 years, and it was a tough 3 years. But this day was our rock bottom. You know, we fought all the time, but I knew this one was different because we had swore we'd never use that D word, and today we did. This was the day that we talked about this idea of divorce. And I knew deep down that if I didn't change something, that this was all going to be over. And to give you some context,
that was such a bad fight that you brought up divorce.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just one topic. I mean, it was really everything. I was checked out, stressed out, burned out. I mean, I was going through some depression. Money was an issue. Our conflict was an issue. I mean, we can get into that, but it was a bunch of different things. But
okay,
yeah. But to give you some context, you know, right before this, I was let go from a senior leadership position, and I was like, especially as men, you know, our career is everything. It was my calling. It was my identity. You know, and I spiraled into depression. I was 60 pounds overweight. We were $100,000 in debt. I was medicating with drugs and alcohol, just trying to cope. And now I was getting dangerously close to divorce. And so, you know, I was caught, you know, between this challenging place, because I'd seen professional success and leadership, and that all came easy to me. But why was it that I was struggling so much when I came home? I was powerful at work, but powerless when I came home. And that was really I had this duality that I was wrestling with. And so to kick it back even more, you know, I came from a dysfunctional upbringing. I had a non-existent relationship with my father. Alcoholism, drugs, crime were littered throughout my family growing up. And so I knew where I came from, and I knew I wanted something different, but I could feel myself getting pulled back into the trauma of my childhood. And when I would yell at my wife, I could hear my father's voice in mine, his words in mine, you know, and that was the challenge. I knew I was called to more, but I just didn't quite know how to get there. Maybe some of your listeners can relate. And the second turning point for me was the funeral. And I was invited to sing at the funeral of this wealthy philanthropic man. And it was about a couple thousand people that showed up. And this man had done a lot of amazing things. And the minister was asking, he was talking about this man. And after sharing all of his, you know, accomplishments and stuff, he asked the people in the room, he said, "Are you living a life worthy of imitation? If you were to die today, would you be proud of the legacy that you left?" And Rebecca, as I began to prepare to sing the last song of that funeral, I could barely choke out the lyrics, because all I could think was, man, if this were my funeral today, nobody would be looking up to my coffin and saying, "He inspired me to have an amazing marriage," or "He inspired me to get into shape," or "He inspired me on how to, you know, manage my finances, steward my finances," all those things. Probably the only thing he would say was he had a hard life, and then it was over. You know, and so that day, by the time I packed up and went and left that church, I was determined that I would rewrite my story, that I would end this generational curse, so that me and my family would have a different life than, you know, my extended family and their family and their family, right, before me. And so, and not just for me, but for my wife and for my children. And so what I did, Rebecca, was I surrounded myself with men who, my ceiling was their floor. You know, they were living where I wanted to go. These men taught me everything. They held me high when I felt low. They held me to the standard that I said I wanted. They believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And the crazy thing is, within 18 months or a year and a half, we paid off over the $100,000 of debt. We completely restored our marriage. I lost the 60 pounds. Completely restored my health, and I was clean of substances and distractions, and I was calm and content and focused. And so that's really kind of how I turned it around. And then shortly after that, a mentor challenged me, and he said, "Man, if you really want to have an impact, you need to start helping people." So I started helping friends of mine, like connect with their wives and, you know, and lose the weight, and building budgets for people to get out of debt. And then I eventually started the Dad Nation podcast. And then that was about 2 years ago. And within about 6 months, we became a globally rated top 10% rated podcast. And then I launched the coaching practice. And I love that, you know, I love Ed Mylett. I'm a big fan of him, but he says, "You were the most qualified to help the person you used to be."
Yes.
You know, so for me, that's what I started doing organically for free. And then I had people reach out all over North America through the podcast and say, "Would you help me?" And so what I've been doing, Rebecca, at the end of the day is, you know, is turning that trash into treasure by using my story to impact the lives of others and help these men reclaim their home, their health, and their happiness, to show it more powerfully as husbands and as fathers. And going back to my funeral moment, you know, to answer that question, am I living a life worthy of imitation? Well, in my definition, that would be, for me, a life worthy of imitation. So that's my story.
That is so beautiful. And how many years have you been married now?
10. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, August 21st.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So the show that we're talking about, Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant, the mission is to help high achievers go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. How do you teach people to avoid burnout?
Well, I think it's so important to answer that question of what do you want? And when I ask that question, it sounds really simple, you know, but 90% of my clients who are high-performing men, you build big businesses. And I say, what do you want? And they don't know. They say, I don't know. I built a business. I made all the money. And I've spent my whole life doing this. And I don't even know. You know, another question I would ask is, what do you want to be known for?
I like that.
You know, and so one thing that I do is, you know, and Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, chapter 2 is called Begin with the End in Mind. You know, Napoleon Hill, one of the greatest thought leaders of our time, would have always talked about begin with the end in mind. My funeral moment, that question was me beginning with the end in mind. And so what I do with my clients is right from the get-go, we write a eulogy for ourselves. Yeah. In the words of our wife. And it's real and it's raw and it's visceral. But basically what I do is I say, hey, if you were to die tomorrow, I want you to picture your wife, your kids standing around your casket. What would she say about the man, husband, and father you were today? Right? Mm-hmm. And then we're going to write a second version, a 2.0. If you were 100% the man, husband, and father that you knew you could be, the one that you were called to be, what would they say then? Because this is the gap, right? The person we are today and the person we know we could be if we went all in. And within these two people, these two versions, this is where our attention and our frustration lies, right? And so that's where we do the deep work. And so when we ask questions like, what do you want? Most people don't answer with, well, I want 17 more businesses. Or, you know, or when you ask the question, what do you want to be known for? A lot of people don't really say, well, I want to be the richest man in, you know, New York City. They'll often say things like, I just want to be a great husband, or I want to be a great mom, or I want to know my kids. I want them to know that I love them. So then, of course, the next question is, well, how are your actions reflecting that? Mm-hmm. Because show me your calendar and I'll show you your values.
Yes.
Right. And so that's the thing, because what happens is I just basically shine a light on what you say you want and what you're actually doing. Right. Because this is what happens. We self-sabotage. And so we say we want this close connection. We say we want a great marriage. We say we want to be in great shape, but yet we're spending 14, 15, 16 hours a day working and eating McDonald's and skipping meals and not sleeping. And we're not connecting with our kids. And then so there is a huge disconnect. And this is what it means when we don't live in integrity with the things that we say we want. And so whether you're a man or you're a woman, these principles still exist. And so at the end of the day, that's what we do, is we begin with the end in mind. And we say, what do you want, right? And then we reverse engineer, you know, from that eulogy moment, we reverse engineer that into daily action steps and strategies. Because that end moment, when you're drawing your last breath, because there's 100% chance that you're going to do that. when you do, what do you want those last thoughts to be? Right. And so, you know, when we consider what does that look like to not be burned out? Well, when we don't have that kind of stuff in mind and we're caught up in the urgent, right, we're reactive, we forget about the important. I mean, this is Eisenhower's whole thing. The Eisenhower matrix was built off of this. You know, President Eisenhower, he said, most often than not, what's urgent is rarely important. Mm-hmm. And what's important is rarely urgent. And so especially as high performers, we can get caught in this trap of constantly being in a state of reactivity to all the urgent things. And we're completely missing the important things, like the date night, like getting down on the floor and playing with your kids, like the workouts, like the meal planning, because we're responding to the urgent. You know what I mean? And so yeah. How do we take some of the pressure off and go from reactive to proactive and start focusing more on the things that are actually important and less urgent? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally. So we are going to cut to a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the biggest blind spots for successful men who are struggling in their love life. And I can't wait to hear your take on this. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. And we'll see you in a minute. Don't go anywhere. I am so excited. I created something special just for you. It's called the Balanced Beautiful Bundle. And inside this bundle, you're going to get instant access to a PDF copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. You're going to get my best health and beauty tips to help you glow from the inside out. You'll get my Elegant Warrior Manifesto, a daily reminder of your power, grace, and purpose. You'll get my Abundance Journal to help you manifest more joy, love, and prosperity. And you'll get a daily journal reminder to keep your mindset strong and your energy and your vibe high every single day. This bundle is your shortcut to balance, beauty, and abundance in an elegant way. So grab your copy now by going to the show notes and start living your most balanced, beautiful, abundant life today. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. So you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show brought to you by Vita Essentials. So I've got to ask, you work with high-achieving, highly successful men. When their love life is a mess, whether it's their marriage or their dating life, maybe they're addicted to porn, maybe they're cheating on their wife, what is the common denominator? What are the blind spots for men that are successful when it comes to their love life?
Oh, such a good question. And oh man, I wish we had the whole weekend to do a masterclass on this.
We'll have to do a workshop on it.
But okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some statistics. Sure. And then we'll talk a little bit about where, you know, how we're wired and how we're different. Okay. So yeah. We know that in the United States today, 70% of divorces are initiated by the wife. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in situations where the wife is a high earner or has a higher education, that number jumps to 90%. So up to 90% of divorces are initiated by the women. That is significant, right? Now, 80% of the time the divorces are initiated, the main reason is because they feel emotionally disconnected from their partner, okay? Yes. So this is a giant red flag. And I will tell you, 100% of the clients I've ever worked with struggle with this one thing, how to connect with their wife, because they hear things like, I feel like I married a robot. You know, who are you? You're this heartless, cold, you know, whatever. Or I feel like we don't talk like we used to, or it's not like it was when we were dating, or I feel like we're just roommates, not soulmates. You know, so a lot of the work that I do is helping men connect with their wife on an emotional level. There's a couple of reasons why we struggle with this. So if you're a woman and you're listening to this, which I know is probably a high probability that you are, mm-hmm. and your husband or your partner, this sounds like him, understand that this is actually a normal expression of being a male. He's not broken, but we can work with him, right? And if you're a man listening, you're not broken, all right? This is just, we need to help you retool. And there's actually a psychological term for this, and it's called normative male alexithymia, which is a bit of a mouthful. But really what it means is alexithymia, broken down from the Greek, means to be without words, right? Mm-hmm. So normative, meaning it's normal for males to be without words when trying to express their emotions. And so it's been this way for generations upon generations. I mean, we could talk about the societal norms and cultural things and, you know, all those different things. But at the end of the day, we need to understand that men just are not as emotionally intelligent. Now, we are intelligent in other ways, but it's actually known and recognized by psychologists all around the world that we struggle to talk about our feelings and to talk with someone about their feelings. Mm-hmm. So what do we do about that? Well, now we know that the vast majority of marriages or divorces are initiated by women because they feel disconnected. Now yes. we understand that that's actually kind of normal. And so what I want to do, I want to give your listeners a gift before we wrap up, because this is going to help them in a big way. But if you're interested, I can walk you through a quick framework that I actually give my one-to-one clients on how to connect on an emotional level.
I would love that.
Awesome. Okay. So here is the challenge, right? Men, we kind of shy away in conversation because we don't know what to do with the feelings. And so this is called the RISE conversation ladder, okay? Now, the word RISE, that's R-I-S-E, stands for the four steps in this ladder. You can think about it like rungs on a ladder. Now, these could be considered the levels of a conversation, okay? So the first level is routine. This is the base level. This is the small talk that runs the house, but never really hits the heart. You know, these are questions like, what time are you home? You know, did you pay the water bill? What's for dinner? Who's driving the kids? Now, these questions matter, but only at a functional level. But I tell guys all the time, your marriage isn't an operations department. It's a covenant. It's a bond, right? It's an intimate relationship. Yeah. So let's ask better questions. And this, when people are stuck at this routine level, this is why they feel like roommates, because they're just, the conversations are just reminding each other of errands and schedules, right? Now, we don't want to confuse daily updates for daily connection. This isn't connection. This is just swapping information. Now, yeah. the second layer to this is I, which is information. Now, this is where you move from transactions to facts. Okay. So now we're swapping news headlines. So what happened at work, right? What did the teacher say at that parent-teacher meeting? What did your mom want when she called? How did that project wrap up at work? Now, like I said, this is better than nothing, but you're still just reporting the news of your day. You're not really revealing anything from the heart. But here's where I would call this this is the on-ramp, not the final destination. This is where most guys fall off the map. Because the next step is S, which is story, okay? This is where the walls start to crack a little bit, right? Because the story level, it moves beyond what happened to you to how it impacted you, okay? Mm-hmm. It pulls emotions into the facts that we shared. This is where real trust and empathy grows. And so, for example, a story level question would be something like, how did that meeting make you feel, right? What was the hardest part of your day today? Or something like, what do you wish that I understood about you that something that you're dealing with right now? I mean, men don't often ask those questions.
That's a great question. Yeah,
exactly. But this requires us to drop our guard, right? But it gives our wife permission to drop hers.
Yes.
And most men avoid this step because they feel like they need to fix everything, right? And so this is where I say, hey, this is where you take the tools out of the picture, you know? you're not going to bring a strategy. You're not going to be her savior. You need to be her safe place. And so you need to be able to listen to these feelings without knowing or feeling like you need to fix them. And then the fourth layer is essence. Now, this is where intimacy, I believe, is really born between a man and a woman, because essence is about our meaning. This is the inner world that very few people get invited into. This is where your wife's fears live, her questions live, her wildest dreams live. Okay, so this would be the deepest level of conversation. So an example of some essence-based questions would be, what's been on your heart lately that you haven't said out loud?
Good one.
You know, or maybe, you know, if there's something you're really believing for or whatever, what's one thing that you're believing for, you're praying for that you haven't told me about? Mm-hmm. Right. What's one dream that keeps tugging at your heart that you wish we would talk about more? Right. And this is one of my favorite questions. I asked my wife this just a couple nights ago when we're having a fire in the backyard. So what's one thing that you would like our family to do, be, or see in the next 5 years? And so this is what our wives want when they say, I want to feel close to you, right? And this is the challenge. The payoff here is real for men, but so is the risk, because going here means that the man needs to hear her fears that he may not be able to fix, right? And so this is the key. Very, very, very statistically, like I would say 0.1% of the men ever get to this level without, of course, this kind of training, right?
Right.
And so a real life example of walking through this, right, might be you're getting ready to go out. Maybe you got a sitter and you're in the room. You're just kind of prepping. A routine level question would be, hey, what time are we leaving for the party? Okay. Then the next step is the information. Who's all going to be there, right? Then the next step is the story. Do you feel excited or anxious about seeing all these people or your friends? And then the deepest question, maybe you want to save this for the drive on the way there, but what do you hope happens there tonight that will make you feel connected, either to me or your friends? You know? And so this is how we go on this journey of going deeper and deeper in conversation and connecting with our partners on an emotional level. Right.
That is so ninja. I mean, if any of the women are listening to this podcast and want to have deeper conversations with their men, share it. And if you're a man who found this podcast, lucky you, because that rise conversation ladder can really help create so much intimacy. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And I mean, I love this quote from David White. He's a poet and philosopher. And he says, the conversation is the relationship. And that's it at the end of the day.
Yes.
And I say to guys all the time, I'm like, if you want to know the health of your marriage, look at the quality of your conversations, because that's what's most important. Because without the conversation, there is no relationship.
And Tony Robbins says, marry someone you love to talk to, because marriage is thousands of conversations.
100%. And so I would say, you know, when it comes to helping men get, you know, become more intimate in their relationships, and women draw, you know, men in that way, if you're a man listening today, this is going to be super helpful. If you're a woman listening today, send your husband this podcast or give him the free gift that I'm going to give you guys at the end of the show, because I'm going to hand it to you on a silver platter, and it's going to be so, so good. And I'll just say one more quick thing.
Yeah. We have plenty of time.
One thing that most people don't realize is that a man has two basic needs. Mm-hmm. One is to feel respected, and the second one is to feel competent. Okay.
Ooh, I never heard that. That's good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So I've done this lots before. You get into a room of 100 guys, 1,000 guys, doesn't matter. And you say, would you rather hear the words, I love you, or I respect you? 99% of the guys are going to raise their hand when they hear the words, I respect you. There is nothing more empowering you can say to your male partner or your husband than the words, I believe in you. Mm. That will give them fuel. They will soar on wings like eagles. It's crazy. And that means way more to them than I love you, because we're built to be on mission. And when we have a partner that believes in us and supports us and encourages, and the word encourage means to inspire courage, right? And so when you say, I believe in you, you're inspiring courage. Now, a woman's three basic needs are to feel seen, heard, and safe. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the question becomes for the man is asking, you know, the wife, hey, how can I make you feel more seen? How can I make you feel more safe? And how can I make you feel more heard in your home, right? In this relationship. And the wife, if she says to the man, how can I make you feel more competent as a man, husband, father, as a boss, as a CEO or whatever, how can I make you feel more respected? That question, I would say very few women ask, but man, you both would just, I would imagine you both would go off with like, here, let me help you in this. Right. And this is what happens though. Right. We see this spiral. I call it the crazy cycle, you know, where a man comes home and maybe he doesn't necessarily know how to quantify success because it's not tangible at home like it is at work. At work, you get performance bonuses, you close more contracts, whatever. Very easy to see. But right. how do you measure being a great dad? I mean, I joke all the time. I say, your son's not going to come up to you and be like, hey, daddy, here are five strategic reasons why you're an effective father.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
It's not going to happen. So it's intangible. And we, especially with the masculine essence, really wrestle with that because we can't, it's not tactical. We can't do anything with it. And so what happens is we don't know how to measure if we're being a good husband or father. And we bring solutions and we create strategies and fix problems all day. And then we come home and we start trying to shove solutions down our wife's throat or our children's throat. And they don't need that, but we don't know how to turn the switch off. And so what happens is the wife gets upset because she's like, you're not hearing me. I don't need a solution. I just want to connect. And so then what happens? The man feels incompetent. He feels disrespected because it's like, I'm working all day and I come home and I'm just trying to help. So he stops loving through hearing, seeing, and making them feel safe. And so when a wife doesn't feel heard or seen or safe, she finds it more hard to be respectful and make him feel competent, right? And so then what happens is he focuses more on work because that's where he feels competent. That's where he feels respected. And then as a result, she feels less seen, heard, and safe.
And right? Then he might have an assistant or a coworker who makes him feel respected and, you know, adequate and cheers him on and believes in him. And that's when infidelity happens.
Exactly. Because it's so rare that we speak in the language of our needs, yeah. Right? On both sides. Yeah. And so when one of my clients, literally, I'm walking through this with him. He had an emotional affair with his wife. And because this is exactly what happened. He was a high performing sales guy and his wife she never really wanted to hear about his day. And he come home and he felt like a nuisance. He really didn't know where he fit in the relationship. And, you know, because his most exciting thing, he had no space to talk about when he would go to work, his colleague was like, you're so great at this. You're such a good salesman. Like you're crushing it. You must be a great husband, right? Respect. Competency, respect, competency. And so that need, that deep innate need is being fulfilled where it's not at home. And so we grow distant and this is what happens, right? And so if we could have that conversation with one another, hey, how can I make you feel more seen, heard, and safe? Hey, how can I make you feel more respected and more competent? That would be such a huge game changer.
Amazing. We're going to cut to a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how we can break free from the always on hustle mentality that so many high achievers deal with. Thanks everyone for listening.
Okay. Can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive. You're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all seven pillars of abundance because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? This one says gaining clarity, and it's from Kate House. Listening to and learning from Rebecca has helped me gain clarity on what matters most to me, and it has inspired me to take action. Thank you so much. Yes, we are in the action business and God is in the results business.
Welcome back. We are here with Mitchell Osmond. He helps high performers reclaim their home, health, and happiness. How do we get rid of that always on hustle, go, go, go mentality that robs high achievers of having that integrated, holistically happy life?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I find just as a super practical tool, I mean, we've talked a lot in the beginning about, you know, connecting with the bigger picture, beginning with the end in mind. And that's great, you know, to have a, you know, a creed or an anthem or, you know, these things in front of you. But what do we do in the moment, right? When boots on the ground, I'm walking through the door, how do I do this? And, you know, because like I said, I work with so many men, it's all about strategy. And so I just, you know, have something I call the preparation pause. And so when you're driving up to the house, just make it a 5 to 10 minute rule, maybe, and it could happen in 3 minutes if you needed to. But what we do, we park the car, we take 5 minutes, and we start closing loops. Now, what happens if you have open loops? What I mean by open loops are like unsent emails, open conversations over text, you know, all these different things, things that are on your mind, on your to-do list that you haven't written down. And this is, they take up mental real estate, right? And they keep you sort of held in this state of the not yet, it's not complete. And it's because of something called the Zeigarnik effect. You can Google it. I'm a bit of a neuroscience geek, but essentially what happens is if we have all these unfinished tasks, they take up space.
Yeah.
And so when we move into another moment, whether it's another room or another scenario or another meeting, we're still actually thinking about what was before, you know, and it takes us about 23 minutes to move from one task to the next. And so what happens is men come home from, you know, probably a chaotic day, putting out fires all day. And so they're in this elevated state, whether they consciously realize it or not. And cortisol is high, they're a little high energy. And so what we need to do is close those loops, take a couple minutes, wrap those things up, get that out of your head. And then I coach my guys to do something called the 4-7-8 breathing method, which is simply to inhale for 4 seconds, to hold for 7 seconds, and to exhale for 8. And we know that this actually does regulate our nervous system. And it takes us from a state of, you know, dysregulation emotionally, like whether you're stressed or you're frustrated or you're irritated or you're anxious, and it calms you. Okay. So close the loops, practice, you know, 3 or 4 rounds of that, and then ask yourself one quick question. You know, wherever you're going to go, you know, you fill in the blank to this answer. But for my clients, it's, what does it look like for me to show up as a fully present father when I walk through that door? What does it look like for me to show up as a loving husband when I walk through the door? Because here's the thing, you don't know what's going to be waiting on the other side. Sure, everyone might be calm and playing peacefully, but it might be sheer pandemonium on the other side of the door, and you have to be prepared. But what happens is we don't do this. We don't pause. We don't regulate, and we're coming in all charged up from this crazy day, and then we walk in, and the kids are screaming, and your wife is screaming, and what do? You match the energy because you're already kind of there anyways. And you're like, I don't need this, right? This is crazy. I had a crazy day. Why didn't everybody calm down? And as a man, you are reacting to the room. And so I encourage, you know, a lot of men specifically, that it is your responsibility to be the thermostat, not the thermometer, right? A thermometer responds and reacts to the room. If it's hot, it gets hot. If it gets cool, it gets cool. A thermostat sets the tone. You set the temperature, you set the emotional climate. And so I encourage them often and say, it's your responsibility to be the lowest heart rate in the room. And if you can do that and you can walk in and calm everyone else's energy, and I'm serious, I truly believe that your presence can be a soothing balm to your family. That when you come in, here's what you want. When you come into the room, you want your wife and your kids to say, oh, finally, dad's home. I can relax. Yeah. Not the opposite of, oh, dad's home. Holy crap. You know what I mean? Or, oh, he's home. Now we got to walk on eggshells. Right? But this happens so often. I'm like, no. That is your responsibility to be the lowest heart rate in the room. Walk into the room, set the tone, and so that your wife, your children are just, they feel like they can turn their brains off when you come home. That's how calming you are. That's the goal. And so that preparation pause is huge. So we close the loops, we practice our breathing, we regulate, and then we ask ourselves, and this is called externalizing, right? Asking yourself, what does it look like to show up powerfully as a father when I walk through the door? And when you ask yourself that question, you have to answer it, right? Yeah. And so when you answer that, you're obviously not going to be like, well, a fully present dad stays on his phone and checks his email while he walks upstairs. No. If you're going to answer that question, you're probably going to say, yeah, he probably powers down his phone and he'd go in and he'd probably sit on the floor and play with his kids. Or if you asked yourself truly and honestly, what does it look like to be a loving husband when I walk through the door? Well, what would a loving husband do? He'd probably say, you know, I'd probably go straight to my wife and I'd hug her and I'd kiss her and I'd ask her a great question, you know, the say I missed her, whatever. But that's the thing. When you externalize and you ask yourself that question, you give yourself the answer. And it's like, okay, well, listen to it, right? And we all instinctively know these things, but we don't do them.
Those are powerful, powerful questions. I know we have to wrap up soon. Let me just end with a couple rapid fire. And then I'm so excited for my listeners to get your gift. So what is your favorite leadership book? You said you're a nerd and you love to read. So give me your favorite leadership book.
Oh, my goodness. Probably anything by John Maxwell.
Okay. Love him.
Yeah.
And second rapid fire question. What is your favorite family or romantic ritual that you will not skip?
Oh, we live right outside the Rocky Mountains. Mm. And so we go away once a quarter. And that is so amazing to hit the hot pools and the natural saunas and stuff within in the Rocky Mountains. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's completely romantic and beautiful. So,
and do you do that like one-on-one with your wife, or is that a family thing or both?
No kids.
Okay. Awesome. And what is your daily non-negotiable habit that you will not miss in a day?
Drinking 16 ounces of water before I drink coffee.
And what's in your water? Anything?
Just a squeeze of lemon and a little bit of sea salt.
Perfect. Well, how can we stay in touch with you and tell us about this exciting gift?
Yeah, of course. So we've talked a lot about the emotions, right? And so this is just called the connection code, and it's 50 questions to spark the fun and get the fire back. Okay. Ooh. Yeah, that's all it is. And so the problem is we get married and we go from soulmates to roommates, you know, or if you're listening to this today and your date nights feel more like board meetings, just with a little bit of wine, right? Then this is for you. Okay. And these questions go from everything from like your fun, dreams, passion, your intimacy. I'm going to get spicy. And it's the only rule is if you download this and you go out on a date or you put the kids down, you know, pour up a glass of wine, whatever, the only questions you can ask are from this list. And trust me, I get women email me all the time and be like, who was that man that took me out on a date last night? Because he was asking me questions I didn't even know, you know, and it's amazing. And so I'm like, I tell guys all the time, I'm like, listen, now you got the RISE conversation framework. So you know how to go through this. And like so many of these questions are based on some of those deepest layers. And so take it, download it. Here it is on a silver platter and enjoy it. And I tell you, when we talk about these statistics, when you can use these questions, you will connect with your wife on such a deep level and she will feel seen and heard and safe. Perhaps the first time she has in many years. And so that's just a free gift to say, hey, thank you for listening to me today, because I know it's so important. How can you find me? Honestly, without sounding vain, if you just Google the Dad Nation, you'll see my face plastered around everywhere. I tell people all the time, I do three things. I got content, which is the podcast. I got courses, which is basically everything I teach my clients in a one-to-one self-guided online program. And then the third one is coaching. So I've got communities and one-to-one stuff, but those are the three ways I serve men. And so I would love to connect, whatever that looks like, whether you just want to tell me, you know, get to listen to the podcast, or you want to get serious and take action. Let's have a conversation about what it would look like to work together. But either way, I'm just happy to serve you the most powerful way I know how.
Well, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest. And thank you, listeners, for going on the journey with us today. And remember, you do not have to hustle and grind to be successful. You can live your life aligned in the seven pillars of abundance. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Keep the focus.